Hello, and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Jeff Coulter, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivener at the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Bazookas in the Spirit, already in progress.
All right, Psalm 91, amazing chapter. I want us to look at verses 7 and 8. It starts out by saying, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Starts out again with a little bit of a conditional phrase, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that person shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Seems like with so much of what God says, there is a condition to it. If you do this, then this is going to happen. Dave called it an if-then statement for those that are computer programmers. I'm not, but I understand the concept. That's how code is written. If this happens, then this happens. Real straightforward. God's word's like that. He that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verses 7 and 8 says this, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not. It shall not come near you. Again, this is the old covenant, part of the promises of God for the children of Israel. It shall not. Not it might not. Not we hope it doesn't. Not occasionally it gets through. It shall not come near you. Then he says this, only with your eyes shall you behold and see. And here's another one of those phrases that I want you to take note of. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. He literally says that sickness and disease are a reward for the wicked. He says you're only going to see it with your eyes. It won't touch you. 1,000 will fall here, 10,000 here. It won't touch you. Only with your eyes are you going to see the reward of the wicked. Sickness and disease, accidents, are a reward for the wicked. Now, is that the only place? God says, I'm going to lay them on all that hate you. Why? Because that's the reward for the wicked. It's interesting that several places in Scripture, that's the way that God refers to sickness and disease. In Matthew 15, 21 through 26, Jesus has an encounter with a Syrophoenician woman who comes to him who says, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. You remember that story. And Jesus is somewhat, it seems like, ignoring her in the beginning. He ends up saying this, it's not right to take, and here's another one of those phrases, the children's bread and to give it to the dogs or to give it to those that the promises haven't been designed for. Again, she was not an Israelite. Originally, the promises of God were just for the children of Israel. Jesus says it's not right to take the children's bread and to give it somewhere else. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs that are under the table get the crumbs. But I want you to listen to the phrase, the children's bread. Jesus said, it belongs to you and me, children of God. What was he talking about? Health, healing, deliverance. Those are the things that he called the children's bread. Those are the things that belong to. They're literally the food. The daily sustenance includes health, healing, and deliverance. Back to Psalm 91. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. It says, because you have made the Lord, a conditional phrase, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, because you've done this, this is what's going to happen. There will no evil befall you, neither will any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Literally, that says that not even accidents were part of their covenant. That health, healing, and being free from accidents was all part of the old covenant that God gave the children of Israel. If you look both in history and in scriptures, the children of Israel were the healthiest people that ever existed. Deuteronomy 29:5, you can write this one down, says that their clothes, while they were going through the wilderness, didn't even wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. That is pretty amazing. Psalm 105, verse 37 in the NLT tells us something else about the children of Israel. Psalm 105, verse 37, talking about when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, And it says, he brought his people safely out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold, and there were no sick or feeble people among them. No sick or feeble people among them. Now, it's estimated by theologians that there's anywhere from 3 to 6 million people that came out, and not one person sick or even feeble. That was the promise for the children of Israel in the Old Testament. That was what God gave them. Is that what we see today? 3 to 6 million people would be the entire metroplex of Dallas, or I don't know how big San Francisco is, or some of the other big cities, but that's a lot of people. Not one sick, not one even weak, feeble. So the question is, if we today as Christians are not experiencing that, is grace, our covenant, inferior? If that's what they had back then, and we're not seeing that now, is this just an inferior covenant? The statement that's used so many times to explain it is, well, we just live in a fallen world. But let me ask an interesting question. Didn't the children of Israel live in a fallen world? Hadn't Adam already sinned at that point? So they also lived in a fallen world and were able to live in complete divine health. So that one, we have to throw that one out. The next time you hear somebody say, well, we live in a fallen world, just ask them, didn't the children of Israel live in a fallen world? Didn't the Bible say that there were none of them sick or feeble? So something else is the answer. There's another problem somewhere. I want to just look at a couple of scriptures that talk about the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 33. One of the first places that he goes into a little bit of detail about the new covenant, God says, I'm going to put a new covenant, I'm going to establish a new covenant with you. This is what he says. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Okay, so here we go. He's going to talk a little bit about what he's getting ready to do. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, some people talk about this being the covenant of grace that the Holy Spirit reminds us. We spend time in the Word of God, but it doesn't just affect our minds, it affects our spirits, it changes us. That the Lord is not just with us, as He was with the children of Israel, but the Holy Spirit is in us, and it literally changes who we are, that the law of God gets written on our hearts and minds. Pastor tells a great story about a pastor here in the Metroplex, that a lady came down to the altar to get saved, and she was a dancer in a strip club, and she said to the guy, my heart is feeling drawn to this, feeling tugged to give my life to the Lord. I'm thinking about getting saved. I want to do what you just said, but I don't want to give up strip dancing. And he said, oh, well, that's no problem. He says, if you'll get saved, you can strip dance as much as you want. And she said, you're kidding. I mean, I thought all Christians were, you know, fuddy-duddies. And he says, if you give your life to Jesus completely, I guarantee you can strip dance as much as you want. So the following week, she comes back to church. And after the end of service, she comes up to the pastor and says, you're pretty sneaky. And she proceeds to say, you knew that if I really gave my life to Jesus, my desires would change. She said, I have no desire to strip dance. And yeah, I can do it all I want. Amen. Amen. But I just don't want to anymore. Because the law of God was written on her heart. Holy Spirit convicting her. Okay, so Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33 talks about this new covenant that God was going to establish. Okay, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. I want us to look there at one more verse that the Bible talks about. The new covenant that God established with us as the people of God. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's a great promise. All kinds of curses in the law, and the Bible says that Jesus redeemed us from those. That part of the new covenant was something brand new. In fact, if you remember when Jesus died, there's a huge thick veil made out of skins of, you know, animal skins that was ripped from top to bottom when Jesus died. And so the priest that could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year, now here it stands wide open. And God was saying, I'm changing some things around. And here's one of the things God said that I'm changing. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why did he do that? Verse 14 tells us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Here's why. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Why did Jesus come? That all of those blessings that we've just been reading, God removing all sickness from us, forgiving all of our iniquities, healing all of our diseases, no plague coming near our dwelling, not even an accident, even as little as stubbing our toe. This says that Jesus came that the blessings of Abraham would come on us through Christ, through faith. So I'm going to make a crazy statement here, but I can back it up from Scripture. It's not God's perfect will to heal you. It is not the perfect will of God to heal you, which I know is an interesting thing to say at a healing school. And those from an evangelical background are saying amen, and other people are picking up stones. It is not God's perfect will to heal you. According to Galatians 3:14, it's God's perfect will that you don't get sick. It's God's perfect will that you walk in divine health. It's also God's will that when you do get sick, that you realize that it's the children's bread health and healing are. Deliverance. Those are the children's bread. That sickness was only ever designed to be a reward for the wicked, Psalm 91 says. Okay. God's perfect plan is divine health. Grace, our covenant, includes divine health. I want to look at a couple more verses. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah 53, 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I want to read that for you in a different translation that we don't have up there. There's a translation called the Young's Literal Translation, and this is what it says. It says, surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted.
You have been listening to Jeff Coulter of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Bazookas in the Spirit, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.